and in particular, much in line with a good deal of existentialism, especially thinking back to Kierkegaard, what nausea is a kind of dissatisfaction, a kind of revulsion with the apparent meaninglessness of the world. But let me put it in a broader philosophical context. Philosophers have often argued that the status of the external world, or the status of our knowledge of the external world, is in question. And this follows from a set of arguments which we've anticipated many times in these lectures, the idea that somehow we are stuck inside of our own experience or stuck inside our own consciousness. Sartre, as we've seen, is going to deny this by essentially taking the contents out of consciousness, turning it into nothingness, so one can say there is no inside of consciousness to be stuck in. And again, the kind of beam analogy comes to mind. But how do philosophers get into this pickle? Because certainly it is a pickle. Not even insane people believe that there is no external world. Rather, this is a pure philosophical fabrication. And it follows from, basically, the Cartesian position, which says that it is possible to know only one's experiences. And then the question comes up, how do we know the world? But even with a revised notion of consciousness, one has to ask the question, is it true that we know that we see the actual world? Or might it be possible that the world that we see is simply the world of our own construction? A world is simply idea. To answer this, what Sartre does in this rather remarkable early novel is he gives us a character who, in the one sense, is rather like Camus' Meursault, in that he is a very kind of eccentric, strange person. But unlike Meursault, he's a highly educated, extremely reflective person, more like Dostoevsky's Underground Man. And so what we see is, in fact, a person who is overburdened by reflection on the world. And in one critical scene, late in the novel, Sartre has this character go into a park where he sees a tree. He sits down by the roots. And what follows is a description that might be fodder for some contemporary horror movie producer. The tree becomes ominous, and it sort of forces its existence on us. And the idea is that existence is not something which is in any way inferred from the experiences we have, or it is not added to or point of speculation, but rather existence simply forces itself in our experience in a way that is absolutely undeniable. A different example. Sartre talks about walking along the edge of a precipice, and one looks down at the fall beneath, and suddenly one is seized with anxiety. Well, what is anxiety? It's not just fear. One might be afraid, for example, of the ground giving way, or one might be afraid that one's companion will give one a push and one will go hurtling over the edge. But anguish is something different. Anguish is the sudden, spontaneous realization that at any moment I could just intentionally take an extra step, give myself a little push, and I go hurtling to my death. And so I take a step away from the edge. What experience anguish gives me is the basic experience of my own freedom. Or to put it in a Sartrean way, nothing stands between me and my self-destruction, except my own decision. Third example is one that appears later in Being and Nothingness, and we'll talk about it in some detail. Philosophers have wondered how I know that other people exist. After all, I know only my own experience. Couldn't all these other people be androids, robots, and have no consciousness at all? Well, what Sartre says is there is an experience that devastatingly shows us that other people cannot be questioned, cannot be denied. If I find, for example, someone looking at me as I am doing something embarrassing, I suddenly experience embarrassment or shame. What I experience is the other person not as an object, but rather the other person as looking at me. And such experiences, Sartre says, are sufficient to undermine any possible philosophical argument to the contrary, that we don't really know other people. What we'll see in what's to follow is how phenomenology is going to highlight other experiences, which are going to give us a good outline about what it means to be human.